Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Jesus spoke these two parables that we're fairly familiar with at this point. The parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin, and the one that follows, that is the prodigal son. He preached it to the Pharisees and the scribes. They are a rebuke to them. And in many ways, it will serve as a rebuke of you all today as well. What was it to be a Pharisee or a scribe? Luke describes them to us. It is a person who sits in judgment over others, judging them to be especially outside of God's gospel. It is a person who holds grudges, who wants to withhold forgiveness of others, who grumbles at God and others about God, who considers themselves to be righteous and in no need of repentance. It is to forget or to be willingly ignorant of the mercy of God for the sake of holding it over others around you who have wronged you. So how do you regard others? If in your life, in your interactions with others, you have set up for yourself a tiered system, a structure of better or worse, or of holy and sinner, between you and others, you're acting like a Pharisee. If you view any sin, any certain sin, specific sin, as something that casts a person outside of the mercy and forgiveness of God, then you are acting like a Pharisee. If you hold back forgiveness and mercy from others until you really think they deserve it, you're a Pharisee. If you can't stand how easy it is to be forgiven by Jesus, if you think God is unfair in showing mercy to all, then you are a Pharisee. If you think you have it all together, and that you are basically a good person and that God owes you something because of how good you are, then you are a Pharisee. The fact of the matter is that in this gospel lesson today, the tax collectors, who were considered traitors to their nation, and traitors also then to their ethnicity, and sinners, those who openly had been known for sinning, that is, immoral people, thieves, robbers, rebels, etc. The tax collectors and the sinners in that text are the ones that are actually drawing near to Christ in order to hear him. They knew what he would bestow through his words, and they gathered in faith. The Pharisees and the scribes, they gather as well, but they gather to accuse, to grumble, to judge. Which group do you think was in better spiritual health? The ones seeking out Jesus to hear from him, or the ones gathering to grumble and complain and so forth? Which one are you today? Which one were you? Were you yesterday? In these parables, and in all the lessons today, we see this nature of God towards sinners. That the Pharisees were well on their way to hell because of their impenitence when they confessed that beautiful truth, which they framed for themselves as an accusation against Jesus, this man receives sinners and eats with them. It's like they had forgotten the scriptures altogether. It is as the lesson from Micah confesses amazement at this nature of this God. Who is a God like this? Who is a God like the one true God? pardoning sins, passing over transgressions, a God who has compassion, steadfast love, who delights in repentance. Who is a God like this, who casts all our sins into the depths of the sea? Which, if you're reminded of it, what has happened to you that casts your sins into the depths of a sea? That is to say, what did your baptism do for you? Well, the prophet Micah knew, and his word reminds you today of who this God is who has baptized you. Psalm 103 today confesses the same, but it confesses it from the perspective of the last day, looking backward at the resurrection of all flesh. For then we will see plainly all sins forgiven. We shall see all diseases finally healed. We shall see ourselves redeemed from the pit of hell. And we shall partake in an eternal feast that eternally satisfies. And we shall be renewed in eternal youth of the resurrection. This is what Christ has come to do and what he has done. And the Pharisees and the scribes will stand on that last day outside of that great work, having rejected Christ and his rescue, having rejected God and his mercy, preferring other gods or themselves instead. And they will be left for themselves to deal with their sins. And they will enter into eternal torment of the body, and they will get what they deserve who rejected the Lord's redemption. And they will never be satisfied, but only long for that which they can never have. They will never be renewed, but always be consumed forever. And such is the same for everyone who lives and believes like the Pharisees did, righteous in themselves, begrudging the mercy and love of God for others, holding grudges, showing partiality, grumbling against God and judging him by their sense of fairness and equity. Repent of that kind of behavior. If you behave like Pharisees, you show a false faith like that of the Pharisees as well. It is not the one true God that you are trusting. But instead, be like those sinners and tax collectors who gathered in repentance, that is, godly sorrow over their sins, but also with firm trust in Christ to receive them and to speak his living word to them. That they gathered to him and heard what he taught. This is what it is, as the epistle calls it, to humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. To be repentant for your sins. The fact is that there isn't a single person out there who has ever lived or who ever will live who isn't already under the mighty hand of God. But those who think they are free of God's mighty hand are fools. But those who humble themselves under his hand are received in mercy out of his love. They are exalted at the proper time, the time of the resurrection on the last day. That those who proudly try to stand under his mighty hand, even if they don't acknowledge that mighty hand which is over them, they will find out just how mighty that hand is in the terror of God's judgment. By earthly standards, those two parables, the lost sheep and the lost coin, don't really make that much sense. But Jesus is not teaching earthly things here, but heavenly ones. That the Son of God left heaven. The whole heavenly host of angels and so forth, he left that behind to come down to earth to find the one lost sheep. In Adam, all have strayed. And upon finding that sheep, the lost sinners of earth, Jesus bears that sheep back home to heaven. And heaven rejoices. The sheep who grumbles who accuses the shepherd who left heaven for their sake, who considers themselves better than the others, who does not gather to hear the shepherd's voice, that sheep is indeed lost, eternally so. Because if the Son of God does not take you into heaven, you will not go there yourself. The woman seeking out the lost coin, and here you can take her to be the bride of Christ, the church who looks for the lost as well and rejoices over finding them. Do you realize how in these parables the wonder and amazement of repentance that is there? Do you yourself take amazement when you see repentance, whether it's in others or in yourself? Heaven knows the wonder of repentance. It rejoices over it. And so if heaven rejoices over it, and heavenly things rejoice over this, do not let your earthly flesh stop you from believing and behaving like indeed heaven is your home. When you consider the forgiveness of your sins, and especially the forgiveness of others as well, and let your forgiveness match that of God's forgiveness, the forgiveness He has shown you, show others. And that's the basis for our trust, that Christ Jesus came to save sinners. That God, our Heavenly Father, rejoices in the finished work of the Son. And Christ Jesus proves God the Father's love. That Christ Jesus suffered and died. Christ Jesus gave Himself to your accuser and into the punishment that you deserved. That He bled for your sake. The righteous one for all of the unrighteous. The Holy One of God for all those who have no holiness, sinners. The Shepherd for lost sheep who love to be lost and wander more. The One who is God for those who bear the image of God like a coin. The Scriptures are built on this fact of the finished redemption that is earned by Christ, that we can joyfully sing, Jesus sinners doth receive, because Jesus, the Lamb of God, has come and redeemed us. That some looked forward to this in the Old Testament, and some in the New Testament look back to it, but yet all of the Holy Scriptures confess the kind of God who does this work of salvation, that He is merciful and gracious, He is slow to anger, abounding fully, completely, filled with steadfast love, who does not deal with us according to our sins, because He dealt with the Son according to those sins. Who doesn't punish according to our iniquities, our crooked strain away from God, because He punished the Son for those iniquities instead. And He is the God who by the work of His Son indeed forgives all your iniquities, who casts all your sins into the depths of the sea, who has removed your sins so far from you that they are from like east from the west. This is the true God. And this is your God, into whose name you have been baptized. And in that baptism, those sins were cast into the depths of the sea. This is the God who has sought you out, and even now is bearing you home to heaven upon His strength. This is the God who has cared for you, that even now you can cast your cares upon Him. This is the God who, after this little while of suffering, a suffering which usually helps us not to be proud Pharisees, grumbling and accusing under God's mighty hand, But this is the God who after this while will by himself and by his work restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. May you all, with heaven above and the whole host of heaven above, rejoice in this for yourselves. And may you rejoice in it for all the others who draw near to hear Jesus' merciful words of forgiveness and new life. To him, that God who has such mercy and grace, to him be dominion. What a glorious and blessed dominion it is. And may that God rule forever and ever. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.